everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. We've got a great show once again for you today. James Krabiel is going to be on. He is a therapist, and we're going to be talking with James about post-traumatic stress disorder. A lot of people don't realize that men and women coming out of prison are exhibiting signs of post-traumatic stress disorder, and James is going to address the causes, just exactly what that is, and how to remedy that. So post-traumatic stress disorder is our topic today with James Krabiel, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Shows we've got coming up. We've got Dr. Philip Braylich that's going to be on here next time, and he is going to continue our discussion that we're having today about post-traumatic stress disorder. You want to be sure and tune in for that. And then we have Robin Marvel, who's going to be talking about how to reshape our reality. Just a couple of the shows coming up in the next couple of episodes right here on Journey of Hope.
If you don't touch the ground, this is I can't take the pain, girl. I need to talk to you.
Would love to hear from you. You can catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line.
Dashboard of my car. I don't need to know who you're with or where you are. All I know is I'm yours and your mind. I just press your lips against mine.
And hey, everybody, welcome back. I have on the phone with me today an old friend of the show, James Krabiel. James is a licensed counselor and a nationally certified cognitive behavioral therapist. He practices in Scottsdale, Arizona. And you know what? I never can figure out what time it is in Arizona. Like there's no daylight savings time, and it's, I think it's mountain time. I don't know. They got their own thing going on out there. But anyway, he is also an author of a book called Troubled Childhood, Triumphant Life. And I recently got an email from James, and we had been looking to do some shows on post-traumatic stress disorder. And I asked James if he would be comfortable talking about that as a therapist. And he said yes, that he would, and even thought it was kind of a timely topic. So, James, let's just, first of all, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Rodney. Thank you, Rodney. I appreciate you having me back. And it's Central Time here in Arizona.
I need a chart or something up here for Arizona. It always throws me for some
it's
reason.
It's crazy.
Anyway, but I guess the first question I want to ask you is, when we hear about post-traumatic stress disorder, we think about people that have been, violent crime, like the victim of a violent crime, people that have been to war, those sorts of things. Can, James, an ex-offender, someone who's coming out of prison, can they have post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yes. And I was thinking about this, the multiple layers, because what happens is when PTSD and the features of it kick in, and by the way, once those sensations and emotions, they tend to take on a life of their own, they get replayed over and over again, and the people become sensitized. So a person may have been traumatized early in life from abuse. They may have gone into the, correctional system, and then they come out. Well, when they're in the system, they're being re-victimized, and then they come out, and there's all these different things that they have to adapt to, acclimate to, and so sometimes the process of re-victimization continues during the time that they're actually ex-offenders.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about just exactly what PTSD is. What exactly is it?
Well, PTSD is the exposure to a traumatic event, and then it's followed by this persistent re-experiencing of that event, and generally together with a couple of clusters of symptoms. And typically those symptoms are avoidance and increased arousal. And with avoidance, this includes things like, trying to deal with intrusive thoughts and feelings and activities and perceptions and repetitive dreams and illusions and so forth. And arousal may take the form of, have a difficulty being irritable, hypervigilant, anger outbursts, difficulty concentrating, hypervigilance, those kinds of things. So it vacillates. People who have PTSD vacillate between the avoidance and intrusive thoughts.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I noticed in prison is that There were some guys there that it didn't bother them to be there. And it used to just drive me nuts. I mean, it doesn't seem like the punitive part of what they were going through for what they did was having any effect on them. And I guess my question here is, people go through these experiences, but not everyone gets a post-traumatic stress disorder. Why not?
Well, here's what happens. Following a traumatic event, most people have these intrusive thoughts about what happened. And these thoughts help them to learn from the experience, generally, and they either plan appropriate actions or they readjust expectations. However, repeat intrusions of the trauma cause emotional stress, so the body begins to protect itself through inhibition. In other words, it modulates itself. It modulates the flow of information so that people are able to deal with that. So in terms of what you're talking about, there's these, what I call inhibitory controls, these controls. And so as they may be supposedly supposed to experience some things, they don't, because they're modulating them, they're minimizing them in order to keep their body and their mind under control. So they numb out, they detach, and they act as if they don't get what's happening to them. In reality, they don't. They have an inner sense of being able to protect themselves.
would they keep that up forever, or upon release, would eventually they begin to show some of the signs of some sort of PTSD?
Okay, here's what happens. In processing trauma, and I use that term a lot, processing, because that's what it's about, the person tends to vacillate. They go between avoidance and intrusion. So they go between this numbing and these intrusive thoughts until the cycle is completed. But in PTSD, that cycle is never processed, it's never completed. When they develop the PTSD, it eventually takes on a life of its own, and it gets replayed out over and over and over unless there's intervention in terms of treatment, which I'll talk about. There are some new treatments out there to help people break this cycle where they go into this pattern where the they get stuck, as you will, from the avoidance and the intrusion pattern, and they just stay stuck.
Okay. How is it diagnosed? Do they use the same sorts of DSM-4? Is that an instrument that's used to diagnose that, or how's it diagnosed?
Yes, typically the diagnosis comes from the characteristics of the DSM-4R, and in that sense, we're looking at people that are just have experienced extreme trauma to either actual or perceived threat, physical or I say emotional, and it gets replayed. It's like a flashbulb. The memory system just encodes all this information, and the organism learns quickly that it's in a state of threat, and it needs to do something to survive. So it goes into a fight or flight response.
Mm-hmm. My guess would be, I'm just guessing here as a layperson, but a man or a woman who spends 8, 9, 10 years. Every day of that 8, 9, and 10 years, scared for their physical safety, that's got to take a toll on them, right?
Well, I think it's interesting because if you look at some of the dynamics that go on in war culture, and then you look at the dynamics that go on within prison systems, it's very similar in terms of the threat, the perceived threat, the experiences that people have, and there's a lot of new research on now that's showing that there's this connection between people who have been to war and people who have been to war within the prison system. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know that a lot of people who were in Vietnam or different wars come out and they end up offending and end up within the prison system. So there's a huge correlation between prisoners and ex-offenders.
Okay, and, James, I know you already mentioned the symptoms. Let me stop you right there. Let's list what those are again, because you had said something about like outburst of anger, which could, this impulse control kind of thing. What are the symptoms again now?
Well, some of the symptoms would be, people have nightmares, they may have flashbacks, there may be a high degree of avoidance, they avoid events, places that remind them of the traumatic experience. There's the problem with sleep. A lot of people have difficulty sleeping. They may be hypervigilant, they're constantly on edge and they're scanning their environment for danger. A regular heartbeat. Feelings of panic, all of these things, factor into.
What about the inability to control, like anger?
In fact, there's some recent interesting studies that say there's a high proportion of violent prisoners and ex-prisoners who are suffering from PTSD, and it probably was as a result of, started with childhood abuse and neglect. Mm-hmm. And so we know that there's some new therapies that are coming out to try to deal with the fact that we know that childhood abuse and neglect is tied in with post-traumatic stress disorder, which is also tied in with aggression, which is also tied in with people then offending and ending up in prison.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'd like to ask you about how depression might play into that. And then we'll talk about some treatments. And then I'd like to ask you a few questions about your book. So let's take a quick break. We're going to be right back. We've got James Krabiel here. You're listening to The Journey of Hope. I'm Rodney Matt. Have you checked out the Jam Buddy Core Chart yet? If you haven't, you need to. I know a lot of you, when you were incarcerated, you made up your mind that you're going to learn how to play an instrument, and you're working through it now, and I know something that will help you. It's called the Jam Buddy Core Chart, and the way you find it is you just look at the link next to the podcast and click on it. It'll take you to angiesbanjo.com, where you can take a look at the Jam Buddy Core ebook. Listen. This thing will help you learn something called the Nashville Numbering System. You want to check it out. Doesn't matter what instrument you play. Check it out. It's the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. James Krabiel is our guest today. He's here on the phone with me, and we're talking about post-traumatic stress disorder. James has got a pretty good handle on this, and we were just getting to the point where we were going to talk about some treatment for this. James, what would be the course of treatment for someone who's diagnosed with something like this?
I didn't hear the question.
What would be the course of treatment for someone who's diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, you want a good therapist who's highly trained in dealing with with PTSD. There are some new treatments, and I think the most effective ones now have to do with what I call a combination of mindfulness and issues of cognitive reframing and cognitive therapy. And so
now when you say, when you say cognitive, you're talking about the thought process, the thinking process. What do you mean by cognitive?
What I mean by cognitive is that many people have these assumptions or these thought processes that say, I feel helpless, I'm no good, I'm incompetent, life is too difficult, I'm afraid. So these are thought processes, streams of thoughts. And during treatment for PTSD, we need to deal with a person's sense of self and help them to feel empowered, help them to feel confident. And I think that the best way to do that is to, one, make sure that it's an environment where we relax the nervous system through meditation, through mindfulness, through there's some new techniques to try to get people to observe their inner states without making value judgments about them. Mm-hmm. And then to some point, as a person's developed trust and relaxation, to get them to be able to share images, stories, narratives, or just feelings about what they experience in small doses.
Okay. And I guess finding someone that is trained to listen to that is very key, as you mentioned earlier. If someone's listening to the show right now and they think that their loved one who has come home from prison might be exhibiting some of these symptoms, of course you're going to want them to get hooked up with some therapy, but what can a family do outside of therapy to help someone who's in that situation?
I think that families need to be aware of, obviously, the different symptoms that their partner's having. They need to be non-judgmental as much as they can about the feelings that are being experienced. If their partner is not having any feelings or experiences around the trauma, they need to make sure that they encourage that individual to get into counseling. Because most of the time I see that the issue is avoidance, that there's a numbing out and there's a total lack of any affect being shown by, patient or potential patient in that regard. I think the families just need to, they need to stay involved, they need to activity, they need to be affirming as much as possible. But I think most offenders or most people who have been in traumatic situations, they're going to need some help along the way in terms of some kind of counseling support, mm-hmm. or through the clergy or through whatever source that they can find.
Now, in your book, Troubled Childhood, Triumphant Life, one of the things you're really good at is dealing with people that experience depression, and I think that depression is a part of this, post-traumatic stress disorder, the myriad of symptoms that people can come across with. In your book, you talk about how these sorts of things can come from our childhood, and one of the things that I picked up on as you were talking is that it's almost like there could be a piling on effect. You got somebody who had issues in their childhood and then later in life experienced a trauma. For me, going to prison wasn't a very fun experience, and there isn't a day, I've been home 4 years now, there isn't a day that it, for some reason, it doesn't cross my mind, something that happened or, whatever, but it doesn't seem to ever go away. And so this piling on effect from childhood and the trauma, is it possible that the childhood trauma along with the additional trauma just makes it that much worse?
I think for people who have been in the prison system, I think that generally it starts with, the cycle starts with probably with some victimization abuse during childhood that then gets carried over. So it is a kind of a snowball effect. And like I had said before, it's like it takes on a life of its own. That once the person is traumatized and it keeps flaring, they keep re-experiencing the same kind of emotions and feelings around that. Now, one of the goals of therapy is to help to bring down that intensity related to the experiences around what happened, and then to reframe the experience and to reframe the thinking of the victim in terms of, no, I'm no longer helpless. No, I have choices. I can do these things when I feel like I'm anxious, or I can do this when I feel depressed. so that the person feels competent to be able to address these things. But there is this kind of piling on effect, but I believe in most cases it starts, you know, early in life in response, or at least for many people, to childhood trauma.
So people that are experiencing these symptoms, ex-offenders, and their family and loved ones, your book, Troubled Childhood, Triumphant Life, would be beneficial to read, seems to me.
I think it'd be very beneficial to read, whether it's individuals that are, have been or are in the prison population or those that are outside. It's very because the Center for Disease Control and Kaiser Permanente Hospital several years ago, I've been working on a decade-long study about the impact of adverse childhood experiences on adult functioning. And my book came on the heels of that study. Mm-hmm. And it basically said that, yes, people are affected by a lot of childhood dysfunction. And yes, it affects people physically. And it affects them emotionally. And it causes and creates tension. And it makes some people violent. It makes other people compliant. It causes different kinds of functional problems in adulthood in terms of how people behave. And unless those issues are processed in adulthood, they don't go away. They just remain, and they just kick up their heels and create problems for people.
How do we get your book, James? Where do we go on the internet to get it?
I think the best place, the least expensive, is on Amazon.
Okay.
Go to Amazon.com. I think the book's selling for a little over $11. So that's probably the best place to get it. Some stores, some Barnes & Noble stores have copies of it. But I think probably the best way to pick it up is through Amazon or any other online bookstore.
How's the weather out there in Arizona these days? Is it hot?
Kind of weird. We've had kind of like this monsoon type.
Really?
You know, kind of muggy and humid and a little rain. And so it's been kind of crazy. Well, it's not the typical dry, but this is monsoon season when you get into August here. So it gets a little goofy. So, so my wife and I are going to try to get away for a little bit, get into some higher country and a little cooler weather. It's still around 100 here. 100 muggy, so that ain't good.
No, that ain't good when you put that humidity. Well, I'm down in Houston, and we know about humidity,
yeah.
My friend.
Yeah, you know all about muggy.
Yeah, I do. James, the book is called Troubled Childhood, Triumphant Life. James, I want to tell you, you have the dubious distinction of being the first guest I've ever repeated on the 3 years that I've done this podcast. We've been doing the podcast just a little over 3 years, and I want to tell you, we love what you have to say, and we love your care and concern for ex-offenders, and thank you so much for being on the show today, sir.
Thank you, and I'm glad I have that dubious distinction. You take care. It's a great show.
James, you have a good day. Well, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. I want to thank my special guest today, James Krehbiel, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.